Hello, and welcome to Radio Shedworking, the weekly podcast for shedworkers and people who work in shed-like atmospheres. I'm Alex Johnson, editor of Shedworking, and this week we're looking at one of the most common concerns affecting shedworkers, and indeed home workers in general, loneliness. While shedworking is a very efficient way of running your business, your garden office can sometimes feel a little solitary. So how can you make sure you don't end every day feeling like you're cut off from the rest of the world? One trend which we predict will become hotter as the year progresses is co-shed working, the low-budget relative of co-working, which is becoming increasingly popular in North America. Instead of sitting alone in your garden office, you could invite other local home workers you know to share your space on a regular or irregular basis. Many non-shed workers are keen on working from home, but have no space for a dedicated office, and would be glad of the offer. And they would be happy to make a small contribution than splash out for rented offices. Of course, there are insurance and security issues to consider, but I can already think of half a dozen people close to Shedworking HQ who would be interested in such an arrangement. You can also keep in contact virtually. A good example is the daily 11 o'clock meetup of home workers organised by Enterprise Nation on Twitter in the morning using the hashtag WaterCoolerMoment. It's a fun way to spend 11s as well as a useful networking moment. And last week, we even met face-to-face thanks to free video conferencing service TalkBox. All you need is a computer and a webcam and ideally some headphones. We tried a similar arrangement with TinyChat for the Shedworking Christmas party last year, and that also worked well. If you'd rather get out into the world beyond your garden, consider spending some of your working week in a local coffee shop or pub. We discussed pub working at a recent water cooler moment, and while some people were against the mix of business with pleasure, there were many others who felt that this was not only a comfortable way of working, but also one that supported local pubs at a time when they are often quiet. Finally, you can take part in local activities which bring you into contact with fellow residents at a time and place of your choosing. A good example is Local Skill Swap, which enables you to find like-minded people in your area so that you can swap your skills, usually by time, and get things done for free. It was set up last year by Katrina Gillard, who says the concept is based on the belief that there is probably someone who lives reasonably close by who is willing and able to trade something with you, if only you knew who they were or what they wanted. There are currently 24 groups and 175 members of Local Skill Swap, including local groups, e.g. SE19, and umbrella groups, e.g. London. If there is neither an umbrella group nor a local group to suit you, then you can start your own. There's a members' feedback system to allow ratings, and Katrina is also talking to charities about setting up volunteer partnership swaps. More details at www.localskillswap.com. And now the news. The Porch Shed competition at www.secretsofshedbuilding.com is now underway. The winner is to get a copy of the new Shedworking book, which is out in June, and an iPod Nano. There were mentions for garden office suppliers EcoSpace and EcoHabs in The Independent last week, in an interesting article about modular housing, which suggested that a new breed of affordable and eco-friendly modular home may be the solution to our housing crisis. It also put in a good word for the shedworking phenomenon. And that's it for this week. Thank you for listening, and I hope you'll tune in again next Monday to Radio Shedworking.